and stripes and wretchedness, and your crucifixion. Make me see how scourge and rod, spear and nails did wound you, how for them you died, O God, who with thorns had crowned you. Yet, O Lord, not thus alone, make me see your passion, but its cause to me make known, and its termination. I also and my sin wrought your deep affliction. This indeed the cause has been of your crucifixion. Grant that I your passion view with repentant grieving. Let me not bring shame to you, but by holy living, how could I refuse to shun every sinful pleasure, since for me God's only Son suffered without measure. If my sins give me alarm and my conscience grieve me, let your cross my fear disarm, peace of conscience give me. Help me see forgiveness won by your holy passion. If for me he slays his Son, God must have compassion. Graciously my faith renew, help me bear my crosses, learning humbleness from you, peace mid pain and losses. May you give you love for love, hear me, O my Savior, that I may in heaven above sing your praise forever.
The congregation is invited to stand for the versicles. This is the day which the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful,
slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and repents of evil.
Jesus said, if any man would come after me,
let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.
Christ was wounded for our transgressions.
He was bruised for our iniquities.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. We sing the canticle, Come to Calvary's Holy Mountain.
Come.
come to Calvary's holy mountain, sinners ruined by the fall. Here a pure and healing fountain flows for you, for me, for all. In a full perpetual tide, opened when our Savior died. Come in sorrow and contrition, wounded, impotent, and blind. Hear the guilty free remission, here the troubled peace may find. Health this fountain will restore, they that drink shall thirst no more. They that drink shall live forever, 'tis a soul-renewing flood. God is faithful, God will never break his covenant of blood. Signed when our Redeemer died, sealed when he was glorified.
You may be seated. The first reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting at verse 18. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to the worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boasts in the Lord. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The congregation is invited to stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel from Luke chapter 23, beginning at verse 32. Two others, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by watching. But the rulers scoffed at him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due rewards of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one.
He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered.
He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one.
He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
You may be seated. You can look at the little insert with the outline for the sermon, and also printed out there is the fifth petition from the Lord's Prayer. We read together the fifth petition and its meaning, which is in bold print. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. What does this mean? We pray in this petition that our Father in heaven would not look at our sins or deny our prayer because of them. We are neither worthy of the things for which we pray, nor have we deserved them. But we ask that he would give them all to us by grace. For we daily sin much and surely deserve nothing but punishment. So we too will sincerely forgive and gladly do good to those who sin against us. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. St. Paul told the Christians in Corinth in his first letter, "For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." For Paul, Jesus was the center, and the center of his work was his death on the cross. And we know that that was primary and foremost in Jesus' own mind as he was hanged on the cross, as he was nailed on the cross. The first thing he said was, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." The first thing. This was the reason Jesus went to the cross. In this petition, Jesus focuses our minds and hearts on forgiveness. I read that paragraph section from the Large Catechism. Luther wrote, "Let no one think that he will ever in this life reach the point where he does not need this forgiveness. In short, unless God constantly forgives, we are lost. Thus, this petition is really an appeal to God not to regard our sins and punish us as we daily deserve, but to deal graciously with us, forgive as he has promised, and thus grant us a happy and cheerful conscience to stand before him in prayer. Where the heart is not right with God and cannot achieve such confidence, it will never dare to pray. But such a confident and joyful heart can only come from the knowledge that our sins are forgiven. Inasmuch as we sin greatly against God every day, and yet he forgives it all through grace, we must always forgive our neighbor who does us harm, violence, and injustice, bears malice toward us, etc." If you'd like to fill in the little blanks in the outline, for the first point, a person that has physical food, A person that has physical food but has no forgiveness is dead. Is dead before God and for eternity. We need eternal forgiveness even more than food. Again, a person that has physical food but has no forgiveness is dead before God and for eternity. We need eternal forgiveness even more than food. Last week, we saw Luther's explanation of the fourth petition. Give us this day our daily bread. And there was that long list. Everything that daily bread encompasses. And I mentioned to have daily bread includes a lot of things. It means good weather. It means no plague, no great plague of locusts or mice. It means that we have help to plant, that we have help to harvest, that we have a government that's stable enough so that our harvests can be sold in peace, that we have a banking system or a money system good enough that we can sell that wheat, and so forth. You can go on and on and on what it takes for us to have daily bread, what God gives us. And yet, that is daily bread. It is not forever bread. That is daily government. It is not forever government. That is daily health. It is not forever health. The things in the fourth petition are things of this life and for our time. The fifth petition is something that goes forever. And we need more than food. If we do not have forgiveness before God, we're dead in our sins. And we have no future before God. It doesn't matter how much bread we would have or how much wealth we would have or how many possessions or successes in this life. If we have no forgiveness before God, we are dead before Him. And as Jesus teaches this prayer that's so precious to us, pray like this, He said. He teaches us to pray for daily bread in the fourth petition, and then He says, now pray for forgiveness. For forgiveness goes further in this life. It goes into eternity. Forgiveness before God means we are with Him forever. And so I said in that second sentence in point one, we need eternal, and notice I italicize eternal, we need eternal forgiveness even more than food. The food that we get daily goes and comes daily. But the forgiveness we have in Christ goes on forever and benefits us forever. And in a real and true sense, we need the forgiveness for our bodies even more than the food. Because with forgiveness from Christ, we get into heaven bodily. We will be raised from the dead. Today and tomorrow's food can't raise us from the dead. Christ's forgiveness will. So Christ, He gives us this petition to pray for daily bread and everything that's involved there. But then, pray for forgiveness. Point two, asking for forgiveness in the name and prayer of Jesus. Asking for forgiveness in the name and prayer of Jesus is praying in His name. Jesus' teaching focuses our prayer on His saving work on the cross. Jesus' teaching focuses our prayer on His saving work on the cross. Now think of it. Jesus gave us His prayer. He taught His disciples, you should pray like this. Our Lord Jesus gives us this prayer. We call it our Lord's Prayer. It's literally what He told us to say. And you know, in so many all our other prayers, we pray in the name of Jesus. Very appropriately, that is what we are supposed to do. But think about this. As we pray this prayer, it is Jesus' prayer. It is. To even say it, to even pray it, is to follow Jesus, is to be His disciple. He said, pray like this, and we say we will over and over again. And we are following Jesus as we pray this. This point comes to a crucial center because it's about forgiveness. His whole task to come to earth, teach, suffer, die, and rise was so that we would be forgiven. And in this prayer, he just emphasizes us, disciples, pray for forgiveness. If you want to pray as my disciples, pray for forgiveness. This is praying in the name of Jesus. This is praying in the name of Jesus, is to pray for forgiveness. And as we pray for forgiveness, that focuses our minds. He gives us this petition that focuses our minds on what Jesus was all about. He fed the 5,000 men plus women and children. He healed so many, cast out demons. He did all these miracles to help people in their daily life. But what he wanted them all to have forever was forgiveness. This prayer focuses on what Jesus even said on the cross. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. This is why I chose this reading with this petition. Where did Jesus say this so clearly that he would forgive us? Right from the cross. The two terrible men, one on his left and one on his right, crucified there. One of them said, forgive me, remember me. He said, today I will remember you in paradise. Forgives the man from the cross. That was his work. When we pray this petition and speak this so many times in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our sins as we forgive others, we remember, and Jesus, you died on the cross and forgive my sins. Every single time we pray this, it points us to Jesus on the cross, giving us forgiveness. Now, we pray for one another in our congregational prayers, in our private prayers, in our family prayers. And that is good. That is what we're supposed to do. Scripture says we pray for one another. Now, if Jesus knew that we needed to pray for forgiveness besides the food and the daily bread, well, shouldn't that also be what our neighbor needs? Our neighbor needs not only his daily food or her job or his health or the good upbringing, all the things they do need, and we pray for them. But our neighbor needs forgiveness. That point three there says, our neighbor also needs daily forgiveness like we do. God calls us to not withhold life. In the first point in the outline, we thought about how much we need forgiveness. More than food. Food takes us day to day to day. Health takes us day to day to day. Weather is good. We need acceptable weather so we aren't locked up in our houses every day. There's some days of sun, days, seasons of growing, and so forth. We need all these things. But what we need for eternal life is the fifth petition, forgiveness. So if we need that, don't others need forgiveness too? If that is so crucial to you and me, then all people need forgiveness. Jesus teaches us to say, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, because they don't need just food or health or a job, but they need forgiveness just like I need forgiveness. They need forgiveness so they will go to heaven as well. We're praying for them that they would be forgiven by Jesus, that I would forgive them, that their whole forgiveness would be whole, that their life would be whole. And if I am unwilling to forgive someone who has sinned against me, I'm withholding something even more valuable than food or clothing or shelter. I'm withholding
innocence before God.
I'm withholding the love of Christ. I'm withholding the words of Jesus from the cross. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. To the very ones who hung him up there and beat him and denied him and even mocked him right then and there. And so I would deny my neighbor that? No. My neighbor must have the words of Jesus also. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. So as we pray for this eternal blessing from God for forgiveness, we also must say it must also be for others, not just for me, but for others as well. As we forgive those who sin against us. This is truly life. This is truly what Jesus came on earth for, to forgive our sins. And he tells us, pray for it. And pray for others. And forgive others too. That is why he came and died and rose. We pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise that your Son has given us this prayer that focuses our minds and hearts on what are so important in our lives, what is essential. And as we think about this petition to pray for forgiveness, as we also forgive others, open our hearts and minds to your forgiveness. Give us confidence to pray to you because you have forgiven us in the name of Jesus. And also enable us to speak the forgiveness to others, to speak those words Jesus said to us on the cross, to all people on the cross, Father, forgive them. May your forgiveness flow freely among us. In the name of Jesus, we pray, Heavenly Father. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue by singing hymn Drawn to the Cross, which thou hast blessed, printed in the bulletin. Congregation is invited to stand for prayer. We pray, Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We sing our Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
You're invited to stand or sit for the closing hymn. Now the light has gone away.
Blessings come from God.